A what?
It was the stapler's fault.
It was. The printer did it.
He was in a mad dash.
Yes. Okay, I'm ready when you are.
All right, grab one thing here. All right. So if we're ready, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order and do roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
And Supervisor Perez?
Not here.
Not here. Okay, before we get started, if I could ask everybody to either turn their phones off or dial them down so that they're not making noise during the presentations. And also, if I could just remind everybody that this isn't a debate society. There are protocols, and we run things pretty loosely here. We want everybody to have an opportunity to speak. But once you've spoken, and it's only during the times that you're allotted to speak, you're done. You can't keep jumping in and interrupting. So I just ask that you have a little bit of respect for the process and allow us to go get through this meeting and try to cover all the bases and make sure that we answer all of your questions. All right. So on to the next thing. Approval of summary proceedings from January 17, 2018. Okay.
Liz did make one correction on the name of Christy Nolan. I spelled Christy wrong. She corrected it for me.
Well, actually, I do have one line. There's mention of the No-Kill Coalition several times, and not to be concerned with the now no longer functioning rescue that was called No-Kill Kern. We're distinguishing it by calling it MKNK, Make Kern No-Kill. I don't know how that was represented at the meeting, but just FYI.
I believe it wasn't. So
it was not.
Okay. Yeah. You'll have to stick with what was...
That's the first I heard.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Any other corrections? Okay, do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All righty. Next, consent agenda. We have nothing. Okay, next. Item D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation when you do step up to the podium, and speakers will be limited to 2 minutes. So we'll start on the first table. Liz?
Please. My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H, proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District. And I just wanted to bring two things to the attention of folks who might not otherwise know about them. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on the computer, Maddie's Fund is presenting one of their webinars, and this is on optimal time for spay and neuter. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the fact that Maddie's Funds have these webinars. I have watched a few of them, and they're very good, so I'm hoping to catch it. And I am a member of the National Animal Care and Control Association, which is mostly animal control officers, but they'll slide in a volunteer once in a while as well. And they have a quarterly newsletter. The one, not that I just got, but the one before it, had a big article on... Do you all get NACO thing?
I do.
Had a big article on the fact that the American Bar Association has given its imprimatur and blessing and all that to TNR programs, which I think is pretty good because... These folks carry a lot of weight in most places. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next victim?
Oh, nothing this time.
Okay. Ma'am?
Michelle Vallejos, zip codes 93311. I just would like to ask the commission to add something to an agenda, mandatory spay-neuter.
We can't hear, I'm sorry.
Mandatory spay-neuter on the agenda for next time, please. Michelle Vallejos. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next. Larry? Is that anything? Middle of the table? Ma'am? You guys have anything? Back table. Okay. You're kind of sitting out there in no man's
land. I know. I got your people.
Just quick, tilt the mic up.
Okay, and you want my name and zip code?
Yes, please.
Darlene Foss, and it's 92306.
Darlene, can you spell your last name for me?
Foss.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm just here to plead for Betty at Hart Park again. I was here last month, and he's still there, and we still need help. I've done everything I know to do.
Just the one.
Well, there's only one left. We've gotten the other ones, or they've come up. They just three of them here, and we've gotten three out of there. But there's just this one left. He's been there since December 9th that I know of. And I've done everything I know. I've been told not to drug them. I spent 8 hours out there chasing him around to make sure that he was fine. I honestly think the only way we're going to get him is to, and we talked about it, but I never heard anything more, is to maybe dart him because he's too quick and he runs too fast.
The problem
and he's just little.
He's too small to safely dart him.
Okay, I thought you said maybe you could check and see. You did check and they said...
It depends on the size of the animal, but according to some of the officers, that were, including senior officers...
He is small.
Yeah, he's a small dog, and there is no dosing that's small enough that can tranquilize a dog that small with a dart.
And that too, yeah.
The traps, he actually, animal trick control, almost caught him in one, mm-hmm. and he got out. His feet were still sticking out because it was just a little cat trap. And then I had Sissy went out there and tried to trap him. He went in, it failed. I have gone to Tatchapi and got a trap from Zach Marley's mutt, a big one, thinking maybe if it was huge. I mean, it has to go in the back of the truck.
But he's got to be, he won't trip it if it's too big.
Well, and he won't go in it. I can jerk it out there, I don't know how many times. I put everything in it that I can think to put in it. And now he won't go in it anymore. I put one out there for like 2 weeks straight.
Are you
people
feeding him? Is it
if
he's hungry enough?
No, he is getting fed.
He's getting plenty of food from what I understand.
That's the problem.
He gets fed, yes. He gets fed from every... He has a routine. I mean, he walks 2 laps with a man every morning. I mean, the morning, the first time I drugged him, I didn't know he was going on the 2-lap walk, you know. So I had to talk to the man and follow him. You know, he made us 2 laps, so he's a tough little dog. But, you know, he follows the cat lady. I mean, but to catch him, I still know, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. And I know his days are limited. Every day I go there, I expect him not to be there.
Well, if you get people to stop feeding him and then put the right size out there.
I had somebody, I mean, even the park has taken away all his blankets. They've thrown out his beds. They've thrown out everything. And somebody left him a bed and a nice little blanket today, a new bag of blanket. So people are going out there. I've heard a priest was chasing them in a robe. But he's a little jackass. He's smart and he's quick. He outsmarts us every time. You know, every time we think we're going to get him this time. I mean, I rolled in the grass thinking I could roll one roll at a time while he was drugged laying there. And every time I rolled, he did it. And I would take another roll, pulling my blanket hula hoop net. He's going to die. I know he's going to die.
Hangs out in the same place, that little thing
about. If I could. So I had a meeting with the Parks Department to enlist the help of the Rangers because he evidently frequents multiple areas.
Yes.
So he's familiar with the traps that are being set in the areas that you see him at. So the Rangers are trying to get me an idea of the other areas that he frequents.
I can tell you everywhere he goes.
Okay. Well, I did have the meeting with the Rangers, and the Rangers are going to keep an eye on him. Let me know where they feel might be a better
place to drop a trap. I spent 8 hours with him Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Following him around the park.
We've got a large, like,
large fencing that he doesn't realize is a trap.
He's got the whole park.
But I mean, if you create a large fenced area that he just kind of wanders in, and then he's at least enclosed in a fenced area. I don't know. I mean,
if it was large enough, you might could get him in there. But
if I had the resources to do that,
yeah,
absolutely. I don't really have the resources to build the fencing.
I mean, we thought if we got enough chipboard and everybody had something we could close in on, but I honestly am not sure that he would figure out a way to jump over you, because he completely jumped over that fence when I trapped him in there in that little enclosed area. I put some gate up there, and I closed him in there, and when we went to get him, he jumped completely over it. And I mean, I'm talking, he's like 12, maybe 15, but probably closer to 12-pound little Jack Russell dog.
Well, yeah, anyway,
I would be more than willing to help with anything.
Well, if you think about it, we don't have any more tools at our disposal than you know of, so the traps and tranquilizers are our only option. And the fact that he's eating well, and from what I understand, he's gained weight since he's been out there.
No, he hasn't. He has lost weight, but
the traps don't work if they're not hungry,
right?
And he's too small for me to tranquilize. So I the only solution I had was to enlist the help of the Rangers to see if they can't let me know there's an area where he frequents where it might be a better location for a trap, or maybe we can get him cornered in one.
Well, we have him back sleeping on that thing. If they would let me put that gate back up, but somebody's going to have to do more than just put a trap up there. He's not going in the trap. But if somebody was willing to, I mean, we're willing to jump in on him.
No, we don't want to cut that.
But
out of the frying pan into the fire, because if he bites somebody, then his days are numbered at the shelter.
Well, yeah. And he probably, I mean, at this point, I mean, the first time I gave him drugs, he let me literally cut him. I was laying on my stomach, you know, just trying to get his attention. I had no idea. I had nothing to catch him with other than my bare hands. And I do think to get away, he might bite me.
You need to get up. You need to have a loose.
Well, I never thought he would get that close to me.
Well, the come-along poles are long.
Yeah, I now have one.
Okay.
But I did.
We prefer to refer to them as leashes, Commissioner.
All right. I had one of those snare poles, but
yeah, that's,
I didn't have a close enough because I never thought he would get that close. So it was a mistake.
We'll have an officer go back out and see if we can.
It sounds like the authorities are doing
figure out something creative.
Whatever they can.
All right.
But I know we've been out there multiple times. We'll see what we can do.
Thank you.
All righty.
Thank you. They haven't given up. Back again. Kind of actually to
next week. Name, please.
Susan Richardson, 93306. To basically expound on the stray problem and the overpopulation problem that we're having in this county. I was a little bit discouraged after my first meeting that I was at last month, partly because I really anticipated, and maybe that's my own lack of knowledge, but anticipated a little bit more discussion sessions going on here that happened. The other thing that was a little disturbing is there were, you know, a couple of people that were personally attacked after the meeting, and I find that really disturbing myself. Anyhow, that being said, after doing a little bit of information gathering, and I call it information gathering because I don't consider it research, because research is when you have things to cite as far as studies are concerned. My understanding of this job, this board's job, is to basically be concerned about the health and welfare of the animals in this county, okay? To advise and assist the Board of Supervisors in conducting public education about responsible ownership of animals, the overpopulation, and whatever that means is recommending them that we implement certain programs, or what can we do to implement certain programs, or that might mean changing regulations. These talks have gone on at least as far back as 2006. We're in 2018. This is really disturbing to me.
Which talks are you referring to?
What are you talking about?
The overpopulation and everything that's happening in this county.
Okay, well,
could you let me finish a minute, please?
Your time's almost up, so.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. The reason this concerns me is after contacting 7 rescues, or I contacted more, I got response from 7 rescues and 4 individuals that I know that grab strays and stuff, take them to shelter or whatever, find them rescues. In 2017 alone, there's over 3,000 dogs. That's not counting counts or anything else that they might catch. That's over 3,000 dogs. That's not counting what's pulled from the shelter from other people. This is a problem, and I really think that this board needs to start having some serious discussion amongst themselves and with the public about what options are available. And one of the options, I know people have mentioned mandatory spay and neuter, and a lot of people seem to get their backs up in the air about that. I'm not really sure why, but it's obvious to me that something has to be done, because we are never going to become a no-kill county in any aspect if serious discussion does not start taking place.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead. You're already on.
I'm on already?
Yeah.
No. It should be green. The screen will be green if it's on.
Oh, it's green now.
Okay.
Now is it on?
There you go.
Ms. Vallejo also mentioned mandatory spay neuter. Let me address the issue of things that have happened over the last 15 years. Where Mrs. Richardson go? There she is. I'm not sure how aware you are of things that have gone on. But in the early 2000s, and Liz can help me with dates, I believe it was around 05, a group of very concerned individuals, a couple of us are up here and many of them are sitting out there, started a group at the direction of the late Supervisor Maven called the Kern County Partnership for Animals. At that time, death rates and youth rates were over the top at the shelter. Since that time, and I could go on for a couple hours, but I promise I won't, there have been astronomical changes that have happened. If you just look at numbers, and it's, you know, you have to kind of be a little bit magical because the city and the county split partway through there. But if you look at numbers, numbers have dramatically changed. Euthanasia rates in Kern County are now at an all-time low. In fact, there are shelters around the country that call Nick and ask Nick how we're doing it, because there was one adoption day when there weren't any animals left in the shelter because they're doing such a good job, and youth rates are very low. You can talk to Commissioner Blackburn over there, who's
the numbers guy.
He keeps track of every little youth rate that goes on. I have been involved, and I'm a huge animal welfare person. There's a reason I'm sitting on the left side of this thing, because I'm the one that's on the left that's the bleeding heart animal lover of this group. And I feel for every stray animal I see on the road. I feel for every animal in every shelter. I've got one at home that's I'm having to take care of around the clock right now. But to come up and say nothing's being done, I'm a little offended.
I'm not saying nothing's being done.
But there is a tremendous amount
being done. But also some of the change.
It's not a debate society, ma'am.
Because of the change is due to the rescues.
Ma'am, please allow Commissioner Madigan to finish.
I'm not going to go into the details of everything that's been done. But if you wanted to talk outside, I could talk for hours about the things that have been done. Right now, there's a coalition being formed at the leadership of Nick called MKNK that I mentioned earlier, the Make Kern No Kill, that's pulling a group of rescues and other animal welfare interested people together to try to address overpopulation and strays running in the street and all the other issues that are related to this. So we all understand it. We all believe the same thing. We all care about the animals as much as everybody else in this room does. Believe me, we're all on the same page. So I think maybe you need to have a little bit more information about what's going on and join some of the people who are working towards making things different. Now, regarding mandatory spay-neuter.
It didn't like what I was saying.
I'll shut you off. Regarding mandatory, well, there it is. Okay, it doesn't like that.
Problem. Yeah, yes. I think the batteries are dead. We're getting
here. Here, here, take this one.
Why is it always
just take that.
It's you. It's me. Okay. Early on in the life of this commission, still no. How about now?
No? Hold the power button down.
Okay, it's green.
Is it green?
Yeah. There it goes. Now it's green.
There you go.
Okay. Early on in the history of this commission, we had a lot of debate about mandatory spay-neuter. And again, I'm on the left side. I was pro-mandatory spay-neuter. I was fighting for it. There were wars going on. There were protests. But as with many things, there are two sides to that. Much like every debate, there's a left and a right, and on the right side are a lot of people who are professional breeders, who do the right thing by their breed and do things correctly, or are members of organizations that make sure that those kinds of breed rescues and breed organizations are being done right. I'm not a breeder, so I don't know all the right words. Fair with me. And the debate went on, and it wasn't just here. It was all over the country, a lot of in Southern California. I was very pro-mandatory spay-neuter. I even helped our previous director of the commission write some legislation that was to be used here in Kern County that fell into the mandatory spay-neuter category. That legislation talked about, you know, exemption for working dogs, exemption for police dogs. It would allow responsible breeders who have documentation to have a certain number of litters per year. I can't remember all the details, but we went down that road. Ultimately, it didn't pass because this, I don't remember the details. I think it was the Board of Supervisors that decided not to do that. However, since that time, there's been a lot of research done on mandatory spay-neuter. And I've come full circle, and there's a young lady in the back who's nodding at me. Because she's on that end, and I'm on this end. But we agree now. There are lots of communities in Southern California that have discovered that it really does not make a difference. In fact, what it does is it increases the burden on animal control, because now they have something else they have to chase. On top of that, enforcing something like that is monumental. You'd have to triple the manpower, am I right, in order to enforce something like that. The thing that has really helped overall throughout the country, through all the research, is making low-cost spay-neuter available to people who can't afford it now. And the research shows that the more opportunities you have to spay-neuter for low-income families, the biggest hit you're going to take on your intake numbers at the shelter. So I understand your mandatory spay-neuter request. And every time I see a stray running down the road, I feel the same way. But the history has shown that it's not worth our energy, it's not worth our time, it's not worth your fight to go down that road.
So does that mean it's not going to be on the agenda?
We can put it on the agenda. Please. That's not what I'm asking. Sure. That's not what I'm addressing. I'm just addressing the topic.
And again, not a debate.
Okay. I'm just saying that.
Well, if it's going to be on the agenda next month, let's agendize it and have this discussion next month.
We can, but let me finish this. I would rather see you spend your passion, your time, your money, your energy, your resources on helping where we know works, which is low-cost spay-neuter, rather than spending a lot of energy and spinning your wheels trying to push something through that historically has not been successful. Okay, I'm done with my speech.
All right, thank you. All right, so if we can finish with public presentations. Danny, do you have anything? Terry? Judy?
No.
I saw your sexy picture.
Face. My name is Judith Kaufman, zip code 93560. I wanted to bring up something tonight that I feel is going to be a pretty big challenge in the future for animal services all over the country. And that is fake service animals. I happened to see a couple of news reports. One of which was a person brought a duck on an airline flight as a support animal.
On the peacock. There was a peacock.
No, it's also a duck and a snake. Now, I grew up around small family farms. I know for a fact you cannot potty train poultry. You cannot.
I wish you could.
When you bring a snake on board, what about people that might have snake phobia? I mean, come on. So I know for a fact that you can buy fake service dog vests and badges online really reasonably. The ADA definitions, and I'll read those real quickly. That's the American with Disabilities Act. Any animal that works, provides assistance, or performs tasks for the benefit of a person with a disability, or provides emotional support that alleviates one or more identified symptoms or effects of a person's disability. Okay, then the second one is service animal. That's an assistance animal. Service animal is any dog that is individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability, including a physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability. Other species of animals can come under this category. And the third definition is an emotional support animal. Maybe an animal of any species, the use of which is supported by a qualified physician, not just the person saying, it's my support animal. The use of which is supported by a qualified physician, psychiatrist, or other mental health professional based upon a disability-related need. So, two things. You and I can ask, what do you have this support dog for, or this service dog for? A business cannot. So, and then the second question you want to ask this person is, what specific task does this dog or animal perform? I'd like to show that on a snake.
Actually, business can. They can ask those two questions.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, that's it.
So, but, well, I got to tell you, I can't tell you how many people that have a dog that they say is a service dog or a support dog. And there's no way they don't have the training. I could see that. Anyway, just a heads up, you guys, because you're going to get inundated with this stuff in the next few years.
Too late.
Yeah. Too late?
Oh, we're already inundated.
Actually, other states are tightening up, and I can't recall off the top of my head. They're tightening up on the requirements and trying to mandate something that will show that it is truly a service dog. It's a personal pet peeve of mine because that's what I do. But technically, she's in training, so I'm not the handicapped person, so I can be asked to leave anytime, and I certainly would. I never have been. But when you see the animals that are just out of control, and then all the weird animals that you're talking about, but there are other states that are actually coming down on this, so maybe it'll get to California.
No. We can only hope.
Judy, can you do me a favor and spell your last name? I spell it wrong every time.
COFFMAN. Oh, I saw you on Facebook.
Okay. All right, so that concludes public presentations.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
We need a motion, second, and a vote on whether or not to place the mandatory spay-neuter discussion on the new business section of next month's agenda.
That's about to do. So
I'll make a motion to place it on the next month's agenda.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed?
Thank you.
On to the next item, which is staff announcements and reports.
Commissioner announcements and reports. You skipped commissioner announcements and reports.
No, staff next.
That's after staff.
Staff first. You missed a page.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just to touch on what Ms. Kaufman was saying, the issue of service animals has become quite an issue for animal services recently. Not for anything more than the volume of requests for service designations. Now, it's important to realize that in the state of California, animals are not required to be registered as a service animal.
Instead of all in favor, you say.
The county, we offer a voluntary service
and then the name
to register your animal on a voluntary registry as a service animal. And all that means is we get tagged.
I never had to do that.
And in all my life. That should suffice when you walk into a business and there's a question. I'm sorry, what?
All that means is what? I didn't hear before.
All that means that we give you a tag that says service animal. But just the sheer volume of requests we're getting. And it's in the state of California, the only animals that are recognized are service animals, not emotional support animals, not anything else, just service animals. And the only animals that that qualify for a service animal are dogs, and I don't know why, but miniature ponies. So iguanas, snakes, mice, peacocks, they don't fit that criteria in state of California.
No pot-belly pigs.
So there are some laws in the state of California. Our sort of question or concern is that when somebody comes to us, it's a voluntary registry. It's voluntary. Nobody's required to register their animal as a service animal. In theory, you could walk into a business with very minimal training on your animal and be completely dishonest and say, my animal's a service animal. And nobody would know the difference. Although it's against the law. So we are facing that issue. We've actually updated some of our voluntary registry protocols, what we ask for, how we ask it, the documentation that we ask for. We usually send people with a document to take to your doctor to say, yes, this person needs a service animal, and this is the service that it performs. It's been an issue for probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years now.
Don't forget the case that just came out.
Yeah, and I believe there was a state of California upheld the business's right to refuse.
Yeah, they actually ruled that the word training in the ADA definition has to be held to mean something, which nobody had ever said before. So the dog actually has to be in training and either with the handicapped individual and a trainer or with the trainer in order to qualify as a service dog in training. And if they are not in training, they have to have a certificate that they have been, quote-unquote, trained. It doesn't go so far as to say exactly what the training would be, but they have to either be in training or be able to prove that they have been through training.
And go a step further. I think that case upheld that a dog in training does not qualify as a service animal. It needs to complete the training.
Right. Well, no, it can be in training if it's with its trainer.
Right, yeah. Not with the...
But not with the handicapped person. So you have to have dog, handicapped person, trainer, or dog and in training and trainer for it to be valid.
But yes, Jerry and I have had many at-length discussions about service.
So, and I used to... I worked with my daughters. They did 4-H, the 4-H group for seeing eye dogs. And we'd get the little puppies at 8 weeks, okay, and we would take them to places. We were not the trainer, okay? We were just, the trainer is by definition when they went back to San Rafael and they had their professional dog trainer with them.
Just to shift gears, the folks that are discussing mandatory spay neuter, I speaking from a person who was responsible for making a kill list of 120 dogs almost every day for a period of about 3 years, probably nobody could be more motivated to see an end to that and a reduction in the amount of animals than me. I think that if you really take a step back and you do the research, more and more, or less and less municipalities, and strictly speaking municipalities, are going with mandated spay neuter. I think there's reasons for that, but there's more than one way to skin a cat. Sorry for the pun. And I think it's important to realize that to mandate it means that people don't want to do it and you're going to need to make them do it. The county has committed $250,000 a year for the past 3.5 years to spay and neuter. We have never had money left over. We continually have people knocking down our doors to get a voucher to fix their animal. Will we come to a point where we run out of people that are willing to do it? Possibly. And will we need to mandate it then? I think it's something that we can discuss, and I'd be happy to have the discussion next week. But it's something we're going to agendize it. But I think the thing to keep in mind is that in 2012, the county that was taking city and county animals took in 32,000 animals. In 2016, the city and the county combined took in about 26,000. So that's 6,000 less animals that came in just in a 4-year period. And make no bones about it, the spay and neuter offerings that are available now, not just from the county but from other organizations, is the reason for that. I have spoken before this commission and to the folks here. I had a meeting, just wasn't even a meeting, it was more of a gathering of, I think Liz was there, I want to say Sue Bennett with Kern Humane Society was there, Barbara Hayes was there. Early on when I first took off over as a director, I wanted to hear some of the history of Kern County Animal Services. And they had all kinds of news clippings from 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. The dog and cat problem in Kern County is much older than just 2012. We're talking about in the late 60s and early 70s, the county was still destroying 30,000 animals. The point I'm trying to make is that a problem of that magnitude that's been in existence for that long is not going to fix itself overnight. It's going to take a collaborative effort like you're seeing now, and it's going to take different approaches to see what works and what doesn't. But what to keep in mind is that there is a lot being done right now from a number of different organizations. And I'm looking at Vicky and Larry right now, because Vicky and Larry, not specifically themselves, they're not gowning up and getting out the scalpel. I hope
not this week.
But they've fixed over 50,000 animals.
About 48,000.
48,000 animals in 5 years. There are some really wonderful organizations doing really wonderful things. I would say, please, be a champion for mandatory spay-neuter. Be the voice for mandatory spay-neuter. But if you really want to see something happen now, be vocal about the programs that exist now. We're busting our butt to get on news and radio to let people know about the resources that exist now. You'd be surprised about the amount of people that don't know the resources that exist. If there's anybody in this room that does not know, if you're a county resident and you own a pit bull, it's free to fix it. Free. So if you want to do your part, spread that message. Find your neighbor, find the person across the street, your cousin, your nephew, your brother, your uncle, whoever it is, and make sure they understand that if you're a county resident or a city resident, that there's resources available to go and get their animal fixed. What we're seeing is that we've tripled the issuance of spay-neuter vouchers just by a little bit of advertising. Radio and TV. Tripled. That's the sort of thing that is eye-opening. Okay, we just need to get the message out there so that people know that there's resources available. At the same time, if you want to be the champion of mandatory spay-neuter, please have at it. I think if the reason why we got ourselves into this position in the first place is because everybody was so narrow-minded about things, I think we have to be open-minded. We have to consider things like mandated spay-neuter or some form of mandated spay-neuter. And I will be honest with everybody in this room, and some of you might not like me after I say it, but we've had internal discussions recently about some form of mandating spay-neuter in the county. Some form of it. Most of you don't know right now that if your dog comes into my shelter twice, I fix it. Twice.
I was told third time.
No. We changed that last year. Yeah. So, I mean, there are a lot of things happening. And the reason why we have the programs that we do, specifically the pit bull program, the Save the Pitties program, is because what we're seeing statistically come out of the shelter. We're killing 8,000 pit bulls every year, which is far and away more than any other breed. So we're developing programs to address that. But the word of mouth has to get out. People have to be aware that there's a program that exists where we can fix your dog for free. So I'm like I said, please, if you feel strongly about mandated spay-neuter, be the microphone for that. But realize that there's another piece of this, that there's programs that already have momentum, and to spend some time preaching those programs too, because those are going to work as well. It's just something to think about. Good news. A few things to go over. Animal Services in July of last year had applied for a grant through the Petco Foundation to help fund the foster program.
I'll touch on this a bit, but we're very concerned about, so programs that aren't mandated by the state, which most of our programs are, the only program that's really mandated by the state is our rabies prevention program. Programs like foster, adoption, rescue, TNR, those are called discretionary programs. The funding that we receive from the county, it's discretionary for those programs. So when the budget starts to go south, like it has been for years now, the first thing we start looking at is discretionary programs. Foster is one of those. It costs the taxpayer and the department money to take animals that otherwise would have been put down, find a foster family, get resources into that animal. My resources would mean medical care, would mean food, would mean time, would mean hourly rate of staff members to get that animal to 8 weeks of age so we could place it through adoption. All these programs cost money. What we're starting to see, and thankfully, to Blake and his staff and his hard work, we've been able to stave off any significant cuts to the discretionary programs that we have in the past 3 years because we've been creative. We've found other ways to save money. But we're getting to the point now where there's no more fat to be trimmed. So we're very concerned about starting to lose some of those programs, either losing those programs or losing staff that's helping us care for the animals in the first place. We're talking about $150,000 we have to cut from our budget this coming year and then another $150,000 next year. So we applied for a Petco grant in July because we saw that coming. What we asked for is we asked for a grant in the amount of $95,000, and in theory what we wanted that to do is to supply several staff members and a partial salary of a registered veterinary technician to work the foster program so that we can expand it. Petco Foundation contacted us about 3 weeks ago and they're giving us $225,000. That's spread over 3 years, $75,000 a year to help us maintain the foster program for another 3 years. Wow. We're not quite sure about what we're going to use that funding for, but
will it permit hiring more staff?
Well, once we figure out exactly what we want to do, because we're leaning towards a kitten nursery to use some of that funding for, so a lot of that may be upfront costs. And then it'll kind of pay for itself. But yes, we are hopeful because if you're going to expand the foster program, poor Deanna, who's our foster coordinator, she can't handle another 1,250 animals under her belt. She's already doing 1,300 a year managing the foster program for 1,300 animals a year. And she's barely got hair left at this point. I have more hair than she does. So that was really good news. We're super happy about that. We're going to go in front of the board, I think, on Tuesday and ask permission to receive that funding. And I'll probably do a press release, too, sometime before then. So that's good news. We also applied for the a nationwide grant called the Innovation Grant, sponsored by, I believe, Natty's Fund. And
yes. Natty's Fund, and there's a couple of other things. It's a collaboration,
but anyways,
Best Friends and Petco.
It's a $350,000 grant. It's nationwide, and it's for innovative ideas. Anybody that comes forward with an idea that maybe hasn't been done before in animal welfare or hasn't been done enough in animal welfare. And it's a very stringent process. I think last year 200 different organizations across the country participated in the grant. Only one got the funding. So it has to be very innovative. And if we even make it first past the first heat, then we got to go to an animal care conference, and somebody, probably me, will have to present in front of a ton of people to try and win that funding. So our idea was we put forth an idea. We've talked to most people, but we had an idea of operating a foster program at the Lerdo inmate facility and make use of the inmates to provide round-the-clock care for mostly newborn kittens. So that's our innovation grant. It was submitted, I think, on February 16th. And it was a video that we had to put together that Sally Breyer and Joel Rivera and some of our staff worked really tirelessly because we only had about 3 weeks to put it together. So we submitted that grant. I don't know when we'll find out. Probably won't be for a while, but hopefully I'll be before the board or before the commission letting you know I'm headed out to wherever I am headed out to present in front of a bunch of people.
The conference is in May, the end of May, like the 23rd, so we're going to hear about it.
So that $350,000 grant that it would be super awesome if we were to get a piece of that funding. Just to let everybody know, I thought this was interesting to touch on. The property that we operate out of, that 3951 Fruitvale Avenue, it was only a 5-year lease, and believe it or not, it's been 5 years since we moved. So the county is in negotiations to purchase that property, which I think added a few years to my life. Because the thought of having to move again, I already told everybody in the county you're going to deliver a new director. So that's good. There's some discussion happening there about the purchase of the property. Another thing I wanted to touch on is our foster care coordinator developed a new kind of internal program within the foster program. It's a senior foster program. We did some media over it recently, but there's a recovery health care program for seniors that's over on Mount Vernon. They're the first participants. They have one dog, and they have about 13 wheelchair-bound retirees who are caring for one dog. And each of them has a different part in it. Some of them walk them, some of them feed them, some of them give them love. So, and the ultimate goal is to get the animal adopted. And it's a senior dog, too. I think it's 10 years old or something like that. So it's a really cool program. It's been very well received. And as soon as that dog graduates, we'll get another one. For those of you who aren't aware, this year we're celebrating World Spay Day at the shelter. We're trying to accomplish 135 spay neuter surgeries on February 21st, next Tuesday, which is World Spay Day. Not only are we going to be issuing or fixing 135, hopefully 135 animals on site on February 21st, which, by the way, if you do the math, just the sheer volume of puppies that's going to prevent is it gets thousands.
What's the date again?
February 27th.
Thank you.
Today's the 21st.
I'm just going to go.
I think that's today. So that's next Tuesday. And not only are we going to be doing surgeries there, we're going to be issuing spay neuter vouchers for half price, $10. They're low-income vouchers, so you do have to qualify as low-income, but it's pretty simple to do so. So if you know anybody, again, that's in the need of getting their animal fixed, again, we're talking about resources. This is a resource. Send them down to the shelter February 27th, next Tuesday, $10 for a voucher to get the animal fixed. Any breed, doesn't matter. Pit bull program still exists, but for $10, you can get your animal fixed. Not only that, in addition to that, we're going to have Halt Animal Rescue on site at the property that's going to be disseminating some educational materials, face painting, and just generally answering questions about animal welfare. The City of Bakersfield's Field Services Division has so kindly come forward to supply us with a volunteer. I'm not sure who that volunteer is going to be just yet.
I have no idea.
But the City of Bakersfield will be on site to issue spay neuter vouchers to city residents, so that everybody's going to be taken care of. And we did get the information out that you do need an appointment with Critters Without Litters before they issue the voucher. So if you know anybody that is a city resident, well, they'll be taken care of too. They can come to 3951 Fruitvale Avenue, February 27th, next Tuesday.
Kern Humane also.
Get themselves a voucher. Also, Kern Humane Society will be there. And Kern Humane will be issuing their vouchers, which can be used to offset the copay for the city vouchers.
No, for the county vouchers.
For the county vouchers, yes. Also, Marley's Mutts is participating in our World Spay Day event. These are all members of the Make Kern No Kill Coalition, by the way. So Marley's Mutts will be out at 8510 Weed Patch Highway. It is a church. The name of the church escapes me. But they're going to be doing a drive-through spay neuter voucher program. Literally, you don't have to get out of your car.
Yeah.
It's a $30 copay, and you get a voucher to get your animal fixed. Cost comes to whole cost. Again, that's another benefit to another resource, another program that's ongoing right now. Cat people who are colony caretakers in the cat rescue, they're going to be issuing spay neuter vouchers next Tuesday as well at their location at 4210 East Drive, which is right at East and Fairhaven, right on the corner. It's a free voucher. There's no income qualifications. The voucher basically takes $25 off the total cost of a surgery, so there's that opportunity as well. There's a lot going on in World Spay Day. I encourage you to spread the word. There's only a handful of people in here. Please, if you have relatives, friends, neighbors, let them know if you're in the business of getting your animal fixed. Please, World Spay Day is a good time to get that.
Do you want to just mention city cats versus county cats?
The city vouchers do not cover cats.
But
only dogs.
But the correct me if I'm wrong. Cat people are not going to be issuing vouchers to city people because right now Critters has a grant to do city cats, feral, non-feral, whatever, for $10.
Correct.
So the voucher would make no sense. So they're not going to, I think they said they're not going to be issuing them to city residents, only to county residents, because it's cheaper to just go through Critters to get a cat.
I believe so. But ultimately, if you're a city resident and you have a cat, just go see Vicki and Larry.
as we carry on. Anyway, so that's going on next Tuesday, February 27th. Just to let everybody know, April 22nd, which is a Sunday, will be our mega adoption event. Last year was the first year we did it. It was super successful. 73 animals got adopted. About 42 different businesses and animal welfare organizations participated. About 2,500 people came through the gates of the fairgrounds. It was just a collaborative adoption event that we've never really tried before. April 22nd is the second mega adoption that we're going to hold. So if any of you know any animal welfare organizations that would like to be a vendor, please contact us.
That's actually contact the county, because I've actually had questions about that with my club.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you have questions, you have a pen handy?
Yeah, kind of.
You're going to want to email BreyerS at KernCounty.com. BreyerS at KernCounty.com. Sally's email. She is handling all of the applications for the mega adoption.
What was the email again?
BreyerS at KernCounty.com.
Hey, that's also worked
out. Yeah, I've been told that. Also, real quick to touch on, the department is hiring a deputy director. So if anybody knows any interested candidates, I think there's about 130 applications that have been received so far.
Oh, wow.
We did participate in an event over the weekend, Pause for Patriots, at Assemblymember Rudy Salas's office. But he sponsored the event.
Yeah, but it wasn't at his office.
It was at the Vieta. And we adopted one animal. I think we only brought a few, but one got adopted. It was a long-term resident, too, so it was good. Just sort of an advisory, and this is something, again, please, the people in this room are the only people that show up at these meetings. There's information that you can do a lot of good by disseminating. The City of Bakersfield Animal Care Center has seen, I want to say, 3, maybe 4 cases of distemper in their shelter. We have seen 3. One that came in with it, and then one that developed it within a few days. It's not uncommon. It's a seasonal illness, but it's important to realize that that is a vaccination. You can get a vaccination for that, and you can get it from the county or Critters Without Litters. It's $10 to buy it from us and to protect your dog from distemper. And there are some concerns in the state of California because they're seeing a lot of distemper in wildlife, raccoons. So if your animal's not vaccinated for parvo distemper, please get it done and spread the word, because the more immunity there is in the community, the less we'll see in the shelter. Just to touch on some statistics, rescue partners helped place 199 animals in the month of January. 33 new animals entered foster care. If that sounds like it's not a lot, it's good that it's not. January is usually a slow month for foster care. Moving right along, 466 animals were adopted in the month of January. 19 of those animals were adopted from Petco locations. Those are cats that are in the Petco storefront. The month of January was our New Year, New Friends adoption promotion. Like I said, 466 animals went to their forever homes, which is successful. Since Jeff is not here tonight, I'll touch on volunteers. Our volunteers donated approximately 2,348 total hours in January. It's equivalent to 14 staff members. The value of that is $55,000 in change, which, by the way, I would like to point out that there's a few volunteers in this room today. Thank you to all of you. The commission are volunteers, by the way. They don't get paid to do this. So I appreciate the commission. Our very own Amber Krasakis is a volunteer.
Yes.
She does her job without getting paid. Ms. Liz Keogh is a volunteer. Joan is a volunteer. Danny Spanks is a volunteer. There's a lot of people in this room that volunteer their time to help the department care for animals. And when I talk about other things that you can do to benefit the animals in Kern County, these are people that are also putting their money where their mouth is. They're actually going to the shelter and they're caring for the animals that we see on a daily basis and going out and carrying the message. So there's always a lot more that can be done than is already being done. Field services saw 1,341 calls for service. It's not a surprise that, again, I think probably for 30 years in a row, Northeast is leading the call volume, 364 calls for service. And that is nothing to say about the residents in Northeast Bakersfield, more so it is that it's more densely populated.
She keeps the letter.
That concludes my director's report, and I can answer any questions anybody may have.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Going back to vaccinations. I think we had touched on before that the shelter does have the flu vaccines.
Yes, canine influenza, which, if you're unaware, is in the state of California and is closest. Fresno.
Visalia,
too.
Yeah, they had a meeting. Our veterinarians had a meeting week before last.
So, again, if we're talking about information that you can disseminate to your friends, family, and neighbors, canine influenza has not been documented in Kern County. It's just a matter of time before it does. Go ahead.
But if you take your animals to the coast, it has been documented in Pismo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can obtain
Northern California is rampant.
We are.
Predators also has the vaccine.
You can obtain the canine influenza vaccination from us at any one of our clinics, and every Wednesday between 5 and 6:30 p.m. you can get it. It's only $10. Protects your animal from the flu. You do need two vaccinations. There's a booster that's due 2 weeks after the initial vaccinations. For $20, your animal gets protection. Again, the more immunity we have in the community, the less we'll see in the shelter. And canine influenza, although it is a treatable and somewhat manageable strain of the flu, if we saw it in the shelter, it would probably be disastrous. Yeah. So we're hoping that we can get the message out that that vaccination is available now. It has been for about 6 months. County or city, doesn't matter. Come and pay for the vaccine. Get it at a county clinic. We don't care.
It's better to get ahead of it than to be behind it.
Yes.
You know, the vets all determined that 2 weeks ago when they met with the MRF rep. So the vets are now on top of it, and they are promoting it with their clients. And
yeah, the vets have it then.
There are also the two different strains.
Well, there's like five strains, actually.
Well, where I'm at, we're doing one that's a bivalent, so it's the N3A2 and the N3A2.
Exactly, yeah. That's the one that they're using here, too.
Yeah.
And city is also doing it at clinics on Friday from 10 till noon.
And actually, even though the Friends Foundation, I don't believe, is represented here, although maybe they are. Are they? They're not. Okay, they're not represented here. But anyway, we had a concern also for shelter animals being protected because we didn't have the funding to buy. And this is $4 a vaccination. We take in 1,500 animals a month, give or take.
How much do you pay for it?
$4 per vaccine.
That is so cheap. You know what they're charging the vets for?
Not when you're talking about 16,000 animals a year.
I know, but the vets are paying like $18-$20 a dose.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we get some pretty good shelter pricing. But we don't have the funding or did not have the funding to vaccinate all animals for canine influenza. We wish we could, but we can't. We don't have the funding to do it. However, thanks to the Friends Foundation, who made a generous donation of $5,000, I believe, to purchase enough vaccines to get us by at least until the end of the fiscal year for adoptable animals. So all of our animals that go out through adoption and that are in adoptable kennels are vaccinated against canine influenza. So that's good news. Thank you to the Friends Foundation.
Yes.
I just wonder if you have printed literature on all these things that to spread the word. Really.
We do at the shelter. I don't carry it with me, but yeah, and you're more than welcome to take or a business card. You can ask away any questions you want, and I'll answer them in email form. You can print it out and take that information to wherever you want.
But, isn't it?
And for the flu, you can go to, I believe it's dogflu.com, and you can get all the information online.
I'm just saying because, I mean, I didn't know that you could get your shot at the,
You can always refer people to our
website. You're a little marketing representative.
I think everybody would post it on Facebook.
So if you can't remember, if you can't remember all the programs we have, we do have websites, kerncountyanimalservices.org. I'll be honest with you, it's a crap website. But within probably the next 3 weeks, it'll finally be up and running, our new website. It'll have all the information in an actually readable format. But the best thing to do is if you can't remember any of the information that we have that I gave you here today, Facebook.com/Kern County Animal Services. A lot of our programs and services are on Facebook all the time.
I just think if we all spread the word on Facebook, a lot of people that can't afford all this band-aid, I guarantee you I didn't pay $10.
Yes. Tell your friends, if you can't remember the programs that I talked about today, Facebook.com/Kern County Animal Services.
Well, why does they have to have two shots?
Because in order to have maximum immunity, they need a booster vaccination within 2 weeks.
So it's different than a human, because we get one shot.
No, there's some vaccines.
That's what we keep
saying.
There's certain vaccines that in humans you need a booster as well, like the rabies vaccination.
Yeah, but not the flu. She's making a flu shot. She's correct on the flu shot.
No, it's a completely different breed of animal. It's not a human. It's a dog, and it's a different strain of the flu. So the recommendation is that in order for your animal to have acceptable immunity, they need a booster vaccination.
Yeah, the second one is actually a booster.
And actually, down in L.A., they're having flares of the adenovirus also, which mimics the flu. So that's why the distemper larva combination is so important as well.
And there is a bunch of information on the World Spay Day here.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I can't plead enough. Follow our Facebook page. Implore your friends and family to follow our Facebook page. A lot of information that goes up there.
Something to really keep in mind, pet owners, everybody needs to consider this. Because of the fires, everyone is not necessarily completely relocating permanently, but all it takes is to have contact with an infected animal at Hart Park, at the beach, anywhere.
Dog parks.
You know?
Dog parks and injuries.
And I'll tell you, it's important to realize, this is a good point, it's important to realize that we are Central California. We're a hub. There's a lot of animals that cross through
Kern
County.
It's a very transient.
From down south, L.A., San Diego area, going up north to either the state of Oregon or Northern California, there's a lot of animals traveling back and forth. There's constantly organizations looking for transporters to transport animals up and down the I-5 and the 99. So, yes, there is a lot of transit coming through Kern County. And there are animals that are from God knows where that are carrying God knows what. So, yes, again, just more evidence that you should get your animal vaccinated.
Please. That's another way that the heartworm is encroaching on areas. Anything from the commissioners?
I just have one quick question about the Save the Pigs program because of being in Ridgecrest. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody over there who, like, do they have to bring their dogs to Bakersfield to do the spay and neuters on them, or is there anybody over there that's doing it?
The Save the Pitties program is chiefly through Cruise with Others.
Okay.
So I've got a transit over here.
Right.
Good. Okay. Okay, great. Thanks, Director Cohen. I really appreciated your very articulate, detailed, and passionate way of giving us this information. And I'm very passionate about what you're doing. We appreciate what you're doing. And I like the data. I like what I've heard tonight. It's very encouraging. The Petco grant over 3 years, did you say it was $250,000?
$225,000.
That's pretty good. You asked for $95,000, you get $225,000. And that's confirmed, right?
Yes. I haven't checked yet, but yeah.
The agreement goes to the board next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, okay.
Yeah.
We had a presentation here a year ago from Petco when they brought us the check for, was it $50,000?
Yes, there may be another one of those coming.
That'd be cool.
Nice.
That'd be cool if we could do that again, because I'd like to see them get, I don't know if there's been any article. I didn't hear about it, so I'm surprised to hear this news, but has that been in the paper or anything?
No, I sent out a press release. No, I haven't sent out a press release yet, but I was.
Okay, because they deserve recognition,
We kind of wanted to have a better idea what we're going to do with the money before we notify them.
Well, you've got a million different ways you can spend it.
Yes, we do.
Anyway, great.
But just another thing, just to keep in mind the things that are happening here in Kern County that are positive. National organizations are taking an interest in what we do and trying to help us do it. We have, Petco, who supported us greatly in the past 2 years, and now Best Friends Animal Society and Maddie's Fund. There are three different organizations that are really interested in what we're doing and trying to support what we do.
No, that's great. I mean, you guys can all see the tide turning from what was.
Got a long way to go, but yeah.
There's still a ways to go, but I mean, you can see the tide turning on a number. This isn't a one piece solution. There's 11 pieces of this puzzle that it takes to really become no kill. I did crunch the numbers. Now, I know it's January, but it's not like we had a low intake numbers, which made these numbers artificially better, because we actually, our intakes were, compared to last January, were 170 more animals than last year as far as the intake. But as far as the live outcomes, which is what I key on, as you know, my sole purpose for being up here is to get us a no kill. That's the only reason I serve as a commissioner. But my numbers show 80% save rate. live outcomes are at 80% right now, which a year ago you and I had a conversation about where are we holding at 65, and it was kind of plateaued at 65, 66, 67. Yeah, I know it's January, and I know it's not the breeding season yet, but I mean, I'm very encouraged with seeing 80% in any given month.
Yeah.
I'll take it, right? So I think it's really encouraging. I appreciate all the info. Appreciate everybody working hard. I was hoping Lisa might be here.
She had another manager.
Okay. And we're really interested in staying up with the innovation grant, because really innovation, like, Nathan, it's all about innovation, trying new things every month. And so if you get some of that, that really shows, you know, great improvement. So anyway, kudos to you, great job, and that's my comment. Thank you, Chip.
Thank you. All good? All right. Thank you, Nick. Awesome job. All right, on to commissioner announcements and reports.
No. How could you forget me?
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
The staples are doing it.
It's always my fault somehow.
I wrote all over my page is the problem. I have staples, sorry. I just checked you off, I'm sorry. We love you.
I know, I love you too. So we're all good. I am Blake Smith. I am the business manager, a.k.a. BDIP Encounter. And I get to do a spay-neuter report, and we're doing awesome. In fact, last month I was afraid we weren't going to utilize it all, and this month I'm afraid we're going to have to cut off early again. At this point, I think, you know, I can move stuff around. We've still got the $30,000, $35,000 in the trust fund that I haven't really done anything with yet, so we've got that cushion. But you know, the Save the Pitties, they're towards the bottom. Kern, with the Save the Pitties, Kern County Animal Services, we're at 8,005 of the 10,000 we allocated. And when I looked at the number of vouchers that we've issued versus what our historical redemption rate is, we're at 15,000 already. So I'm going to have to move money around there to keep it going. And by the way, we just started running ads for the program, so it's gonna balloon. So I think, you know, some of the $35,000 for that is gonna have to go. Is working on going using it towards Save the Pitties. We're doing good. We're on track, maybe, you know, or ahead. The interesting thing that I, you know, point out again is that our Save the Pity vouchers are they're free, and we get about a 55% redemption rate. When they pay $20 for it, we get an 85% redemption rate. So we're clearly establishing that if they have skin in the game, that they're more likely to follow through. But I ran some quick and dirty numbers on the Save the Pitties, and I know this is not scientific, but I'm told that the average litter for a pit bull was right around 8 to 9 puppies. And so I took the number of surgeries we've done, took it by 50% on the false assumption that half of them were females, and because I think it's more like 52 to 53%. But anyway, I just made it easy, 50%. And just with what we've done now, if they only have one litter, which doesn't happen if they don't get them fixed, we've saved about 600, we've prevented the birth of 600 pit bull puppies just this year with that little bit we've done. Marley's Mutts is doing good. They're cranking things out. You'll notice over here that Marley's Mutts has done 75 surgeries at a cost of $6,000, and we've done 75 surgeries at a cost of $8,005. So you need to remember that they subsidize each and every surgery that is done out of. We give them funding, and they're doing matching funding. So this $6,000 that's our cost. That's not the total cost of doing these surgeries, because Marley's Mutts is getting their own donations to take care of the difference. Any other questions about spay-neuter? I was interested in the... Liz will like this, okay? You're going to love this. So, Nick talked about, in his presentation, about how the overall intakes has dropped by about 6,000. Well, when you do, when you start a spay-neuter program, it's like a mortgage.
No kidding.
Right? See that? It's like a mortgage. So you're not paying a lot of principal in the beginning because it's mostly interest. So we're doing this, and this is what we're doing, and we've dropped 6,000. Well, now the rate's should get better. Okay? And so I'm hoping that we'll be able to see some dramatic reductions over the next couple of years. So anyway, and we are always looking at ways. We are constantly having discussions on how we can encourage people to spay or neuter their animals, we've got the free pity, save your pities, we've got the low income vouchers, and we've got some people that are resistant. And I believe at some point it's going to come down to more enforcement. We can be nice for a while, and then we're going to have to get a little tougher. And I think that's one of the things that's going to have to happen. And I know this might upset some people, but we may have to start increasing the license fee for unaltered animals. So, but that's a discussion. And we're going to have to take care of this, and we're going to have to inspire people. If they're not, we're going to have to motivate people in whatever way it takes to make this happen. So, yes.
Real quick, I think it just hit me all of a sudden.
Can we get your name, sir?
Wally. Beville. Like the Cadillac, but with a B.
Got it.
I think the biggest disconnect and the biggest problem why especially with the pit bulls being spayed and neutered, is because the owners may not have that animal registered already. And their reluctance to get a free voucher or take the animal into a free program because of the fear of the fact that your animal's not registered. How long have you had the animal? If there was some sort of, for lack of better explanation, forgiveness presented with this information saying, at this point, we don't care right now if your animal's registered or not, regardless.
Are you talking about licensing?
License.
Yes.
Okay.
If your animal's not licensed, you can still come and bring the animal, get spayed or neutered with this voucher, because like I'm saying.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah.
We do it. So when they come in, if they come in with their animal and they come to our Wednesday night clinic and they've never had a license before and we tell them, usually it's because an officer goes out and gives them a citation for having unlicensed dogs. So we immediately will issue them a temporary license for $15, where if they have no intention of getting the animal fixed, it's $60. So they get a $15 temporary license that they have 30 days to resolve with us. We give them the rabies shot for $10, and if it's a pit bull, they get the voucher for free, and all they have to do is take it to a participating veterinarian and get it done, and then send us a copy of the spay certificate or spay neuter certificate, and their license is good. Now, if they don't provide us with the update, then their license at the end of that 30 days is no longer valid, and we do follow up, and we'll say, how come you haven't had your animal spay or neutered? Because you now owe us another $45.
Like I said, the reluctance to even participate in the program to begin with, even if they haven't, especially if they haven't had contact with an officer. I'm going to keep my pit bull Fluffy over here in the garage. I'm not going to go over there because I don't want to have to get in trouble to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you're talking about the Save the Pity program, not necessarily coming to a clinic.
Well, for any breed, for that matter. I mean, if you have a Great Dane, then it's not licensed.
Right.
And it's not fixed.
I think Animal Control really does bend over backwards, having come up with this temporary licensing.
Oh, yeah,
is a very innovative thing.
I'm not saying anybody in this room is not doing their due diligence. I'm just saying the general public.
So it's an educational process.
So we need to do a better job of educating. I'm a little reticent to do an education that says, we're going to not worry about your license. I don't want, because if I've learned anything about our clientele, they'll take this and they'll make it this faster than you can ever imagine. And so we'd have to really craft it. But I think that the people who come here, the people who know, you're in a better position to educate than we are, because you can see the unlicensed big dog running around, and you can ask
him,
I think that, you know, that's a good idea, and we need to look at it. We need to be careful how we move forward with it.
Maybe like an amnesty period around the whole the scheduled spay and neuter events, perhaps. I'm just saying that they don't know that, though, because they're probably reluctant to even bring their dog in because they're not licensed, is what I'm saying.
Can I address that just briefly? Well, I work both the county clinics and the city clinics. Mm-hmm. People come in, and one of the things we do is ask them, is your animal altered? Yes, no. If it's no, do you want to get your animal altered? Well, how much is it going to cost me? Soon as I tell them, for city, I'll give them a $40 voucher. Vicki knows on Fridays they get calls from Bakersfield City. At county, it's the same thing. My impression is that people don't know. They're still thinking it's $300 and I can't afford it.
Exactly.
When they are told, or they'll tell me, a friend told me about this. We do have certain populations that are a little bit difficult to get to, and they're going to be, but I will tell you, 10 years ago, and most of the people in this room know it, if you talk to a Hispanic male about getting his animals, his male dog, they went berserk. They went berserk. It was like cutting off their arm. That has changed 180 degrees in my experience. Not how long I've been working this stuff. And part of it is that this guy comes to our clinic. He goes and talks to his neighbors, his relatives, his... And they will say to me, you know, my father, they told me last week I could come here and blah, blah, blah. So I think you're blowing the reluctance thing a little bit out of proportion.
I agree with you totally. But I'm saying that there are certain communities that have
absolutely
animals that they don't like the cops anyway. You know what I mean?
I hear what you say.
And they don't want anybody talking to them about making sure your dog is licensed, because guess what? That's putting your finger on it, mm-hmm. making them do something. If lifting that finger just a little bit reduces the amount of population of pit bulls by 600 or more, and it didn't cost you a dime, you see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to play devil's advocate. I'm just saying that.
Right.
I appreciate that thought.
You have a good point, Wally. I think we'll take that into consideration.
Yeah. But the point is if I, like, the commercial was great. I saw it the other night. It's really cute. Cute little family running around with this really badass looking pit bull. But
the sweetest thing you've ever seen.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, but he looks like he's a tough dog. But if I have a pit bull and I see that commercial, you're never going to see my dog. I'm just going to get the voucher, and I'm going to take my dog to Critters and get him fixed and bring him back home. Now, like I said, I think it would be a mistake to say, your dog doesn't have to be vaccinated to use that. I mean, doesn't have to be licensed to use this voucher. I mean, that's creating a huge slippery slope. But as far as utilizing that voucher, there's licensing isn't even in the discussion. So... But again, the theme of the evening is to be the public awareness officer for our group, spread the word, because aside from coming to a clinic, nobody's going to talk to you about licensing unless you happen to be one of the lucky people that has a PETA officer come to the door. But that voucher's not, licensing isn't even in the discussion. Am I correct, Nick?
It's in the discussion, but it's... It's, yeah. You do one, and then you do the other. You get your voucher, and then you get your license.
30 days later, they come after you if you don't have your license.
No, they come after if you don't get your dog fixed.
Madam Chairman?
Oh, I thought it was a license.
No. Because they issue a temporary license.
Please. Let's not be for more.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, can we move this on, please?
I was going to say, we're way off topic and violating the Brown Act, left, right, and center. So if we could go back to the staff report.
Are you
done,
Blake?
I am.
Thank you.
All right.
Have fun.
Okay, Commissioner announcements.
Just a couple of things. I already mentioned, I love that commercial. That dog is awesome. It's really a sweetheart dog.
That
looks really good. The other thing, since we're talking about public relations, I just want to kind of get on one of my little bandwagons, which is microchipping. There are two websites that are really the primary websites that have to do with microchipping. One of them is you find a dog, you have a chip number, you go to this site, you look it up, and it branches out to all the different brands of microchip, and it finds the registration for you, so you don't have to go to all the different manufacturers. The other site is you have a chip of any kind of brand on your dog, you can register it in this particular site, and that way it's available for anybody who's looking at it. You know, one's the search and one's the register. If you need to know those sites, please let me know and I'll give them to you, because they're a lot easier than going through all the different manufacturer sites. You know, just in the last 6 months, I've found two owners because of microchip. So when they are registered, they really do work. But they got to be registered. So, but this free registry is just lickety-split. It's really easy to use. Then the other thing, I just wanted to express my appreciation for friends at the shelter, even though they're not here. Little dog I mentioned earlier that I'm taking care of around the clock. Friends is helping me fund that through the
Lacey's?
Thank you. Lacey Fund. The dog is actually a shelter dog for the city, and is foster, but they are helping with that a great deal.
That's it. Awesome. Okay. You got nothing? Okay. I'm happy to announce that the grant was sent in to the American Kennel Club for the disaster trailers and has been approved. So we can now start fundraising. We've already got $1,000 in the kitty through Bakersfield Obedience Training Club, who was one of the sponsoring clubs. The other sponsoring club at this time is Kern County Kennel Club. We're going to be meeting with them and Nick to determine a publicity avenue to get the word out to the community. We have to raise approximately
$24,000. 12 grand each.
12 grand per trailer, and the balance is covered in the cost of AKC supplying it fully filled up with everything we need.
Stock.
Thank you. And if anybody wants to start with donations, it's to be made out to AKC Reunite. They can be given to Animal Services, and they can be submitted to AKC as we get them. You can go online and make your donations and just specify that it's for the Kern County trailers. And we hope to have something out in the news in the next few weeks to really push it. The Kern County Kennel Club Dog Show is coming up, and that is someplace that we're really going to focus. It's 4 days. Yes, 4 days of shows in town at the fairgrounds. So Kern County Kennel Club's really excited about having Animal Services involved and possibly bringing out the trailer that we have on hand just to give the community an idea of what a disaster relief trailer is for this community. And so we're looking forward to raising the funds and getting these trailers in here quickly. And I think ultimately we will be able to do it relatively quickly. That's all I've got for now. All right. On to old business. Staff referrals. None. Emergency prep and livestock containment. That's both you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a rough month. I really
have okay.
Tonight.
All right.
Thank
cool.
you for yours.
All right. And then, let's see here. On to new business. Lisa's not here, so no report tonight.
Madam Chairman, we do need a motion to receive and file the director's report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
And the, let's see, the director's report, the
spay neuter update, and the volunteer update.
Okay, so I need motions.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. For all of that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second for all three.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Okay, so then I guess the next one we need.
Can we put Lisa back on for next month?
Yeah. She'll remain on until we do it, right?
All right, good.
Okay. So then we need one more motion.
I make a motion that we close this meeting.
Awesome.
Do we have a second?
All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Thank you all. Have a great evening.